Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome, cat lovers. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Today we have a super special show. We have a guest from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and he is going to tell us how crushing cans can literally save wildlife. And we have some simple tips for being a good neighbor to the animals. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I am so excited to introduce Jacob Shaw from PETA, and we're going to talk about some simple steps that all of us can take to live in closer harmony with nature, things we could do to save the animals. Welcome, Jacob.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks so much for having me on.
I'm so excited to have you on. Before we get started, there might be some people, maybe like five out there listening, that are not familiar with PETA. Can you just explain what PETA is?
Of course. So PETA stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and we are the largest animal rights organization in the world with more than 10 million members and supporters globally. And PETA focuses on the areas where the largest number of animals suffer most intensely for the longest periods of time. So that's animals who are used and killed in the food industry and the clothing industry, who are exploited and killed in laboratory experiments and in the entertainment industry. But, you know, we also focus on how we can live in harmony with wildlife, ways we can be more kind to the animals who live amongst us. And we also obviously work on cruelty cases involving dogs, cats, and other companion animals.
Well, I'm excited to have you on. I've been a fan of PETA for years. Do you know how long PETA's been in existence?
Yeah, so PETA is actually approaching our 45-year anniversary this year. We were started in 1980. So that's 45 years of really just fantastic life-saving work that has made such a big difference in the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of animals.
Yes, you have. And I've known PETA for a very long time. So thanks for all you do. Let's get talking about what we can do to be a good neighbor to our animals. So let's talk about something that probably people just aren't aware of. How can people properly dispose of trash to ensure animal safety?
Right. So our trash can really easily and quickly, unknown to us, can become a deadly trap for a hungry animal, right? So whether we're talking about a raccoon or an opossum, a lot of these animals who live in our yards and our neighborhoods, they'll try to lick the last remaining food scraps out of eaten side of a can or a bottle. And in the process, their heads can become stuck inside, which obviously leaves them in this horrible situation where they will often starve to death or die of dehydration. But fortunately, could not be easier for us to save these animals' lives by just taking a few moments, you know, before we throw away our cans and bottles, to just make sure we crush cans, put lids back on top of jars and bottles before we dispose of them.
It's such a little fix. And you're right. These animals are in areas. I mean, I live in suburbs, but in Fort Lauderdale. And you wouldn't think there'd be so many raccoons around, but there are, and possums too, you know, besides all the other creatures. So thanks for sharing that. Just quick fix to save who knows how many animals. Let's talk about not so friendly creatures in your home. So PETA is ethical to all animals. So that includes, you know, mice and bugs and other little creatures. And the best way to you know, not to do anything violent to them, but what is the best way to deter them from even getting into your home so you don't have to go to the next step, which is, you know, alternatives for removing them?
So small animals, whether we're talking about, you know, mice, rats, insects, any of these little guys, you know, they only enter our homes when food and shelter is available to them. So it's really all of our responsibility to make sure that our homes are inviting, uninviting to them as possible. And, you know, saying making our homes uninviting to them, it may sound abstract, but it's really just a matter of two simple things, right? It's making sure that one, our food and trash is kept in chew-proof containers, you know, it's not accessible, and then sealing off any entry points where the animals can get inside of our homes, because obviously if one mouse can come in, others are going to follow. So, you know, if you see cracks and holes in your exterior walls along the floorboards, obviously the proactive thing to do is to seal those up before it becomes an issue. And then lastly, you know, we can deter animals with these safe, natural, non-toxic substances that work really well as deterrents. So we're talking about vinegar and cinnamon for ants, and something like peppermint oil or eucalyptus oil works really well for mice and rats too, because it irritates the inside of their nasal cavities and sends the message, hey, you don't want to come in here. This is, you know, not a welcoming space.
I've heard of also peppermint oil being a deterrent for roaches as well.
Yeah, and ammonia-soaked cotton balls is also another good deterrent that has a similar effect. It's a smell that, you know, animals don't like and will almost always tell them, hey, buddy, keep moving.
And then another idea is that when you mentioned, you know, watching, you know, cracks and holes and stuff, I have heard that mice can get into a crack that's as big, as small as like a quarter, not the flat quarter, just a couple of millimeters. So you really have to be diligent about watching those openings in your home.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, something that I've heard people suggest doing, which I think is a great tip, is, and when it gets dark out, if you walk along the exterior wall and shine a flashlight through, if light is getting in, that obviously means there's some sort of crack where presumably an animal could get in as well. So that's a good way to just identify where these openings may be and then find them, seal them up.
Okay, thanks for that. What about for, you know, people that want to, that just say, well, what if I use a sticky trap? Is it that bad for mice and rats?
Well, so killing these animals is not going to do anything to stop others from moving in, right? We know that the only effective long-term solutions of all involve prevention and deterrence. But speaking of glue traps, I mean, glue traps are the worst possible option by any measure. I mean, they are responsible for more animal suffering than any other wildlife control product that's available today. And that's because after animals walk across the surface of the trap, whether we're talking about, you know, mice and rats or birds who often find themselves stuck in glue traps, or even kittens and puppies, I mean, these animals are stuck to the glue and they're left to suffer a slow, excruciating death where they'll die of dehydration, starvation, or blood loss. And oftentimes their mouth and nostrils become glued shut and they suffocate, or other times the animal's actually thrown out in the garbage while they're still stuck to the trap, still alive, and they're crushed to death. So this is just the most terrifying and painful way for an animal to die. But that's why we're seeing countries around the world banning glue traps, and we're seeing great progress here in the US as well. West Hollywood and Ojai, two cities in California, have introduced their own glue trap bans in the last couple years, and cities and states around the country are looking into doing the same thing. So really great progress there, and that's why PETA urges everyone to never ever buy or use glue traps. Tell your friends and neighbors to never use them, and we encourage everyone to tell their city council members to ban glue traps in their cities as well.
Great idea. And there are humane traps. What should people be aware of when they call a pest control company?
So first and foremost, you know, always keep front of mind that lethal solutions just don't work, right? As we've been talking about, if one animal can get inside of our homes, others will follow as long as food, water, and shelter are available to them. So we want to make sure that we're talking to the company about prioritizing prevention and exclusion. And when you look up, you know, and I was about to say the phone book, but most people probably use a computer for this these days. You know, try to find a humane wildlife removal company. You know, humane is the key word there, that will safely relocate these animals. We should steer clear of any company that is using traps, poisons, and other lethal methods. Obviously, those don't qualify as humane because fundamentally, they're not effective. They don't work in the long term, and they inflict terrible suffering on animals who really are doing nothing wrong. All they're doing is taking us up on the unknowing offer we've often put out to them by, you know, putting food and garbage out in places they can reach that, you know, attracts them to come in the first place. So they're not meaning to do us any harm. So we should really find just a way to make our homes inaccessible to them and let them move along rather than inflicting suffering on them.
I absolutely agree. And there's also the consideration that if pest control companies are using poison on, say, your lawn or around your house, then that gets into the grass and the water, gets on, you know, your dog's feed or cats if you have cat communities around your home. So just all around, not a good idea.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, we see this issue of called secondary poisoning, where oftentimes, you know, a mouse or a rat will ingest the poison and, you know, larger animals will eat them and it moves up and up and up and you end up having, you know, eagles and hawks and even mountain lions dying of poison-related deaths. We've actually similarly seen great progress there, where California has banned the use of first and second generation anticoagulant rodenticides. It's a mouthful, but it's basically, you know, they're one of the most popular kinds of poison. They are really horrific because they basically prevent animals' blood from clotting, so they slowly bleed out internally. You know, really, really awful. But I think it's just a great opportunity for us to remember that, you know, whether we're talking about a mountain lion, an owl, an eagle, a dog, a cat, a mouse, or a rat, every animal is someone who is capable of feeling fear and pain and love and joy, just like we do. You know, they have relationships that are meaningful and important to them. They have families, they have lives that they value, much in the same way we value our own lives. So there are so many opportunities for us to be more considerate of them and to be kinder to them. So, you know, this is just one of many.
Okay, let's talk. You've hit on this a little bit prior, but let's talk a little bit more. What attracts wildlife to our home, and how can we make our homes less inviting?
So animals are always looking for two things when it comes to this conversation, right? It's food and shelter. So with shelter, they'll often find that in overgrown shrubbery or plants that's, you know, right along the exterior of our home. So one easy thing to do that a lot of people don't think of is just trimming that back a bit so there's some separation between the shrubs and the bushes in our homes or apartments. And then, you know, the other thing again is if there's any cracks, holes, entry points in the walls, making sure that those are sealed up. And then as far as food goes, in addition to what we talked about with, you know, keeping it in chew-proof containers, keeping garbage in cans and in bags, you know, we also want to make sure that if we have companion animals, we're not leaving out food for them. I have a dog who I am obsessed with named Lily, but I make sure that overnight I'm not leaving her food out in the bowl, because all that will do is attract animals, whether we're talking about mice or insects. And even something like a bird feeder can be an unknowing attractant, right? If you're throwing out little scraps for birds, oftentimes those scraps end up being attractive to mice and other animals as well.
So true. And also in warm climates, you tend to have feral colonies of cats. Some people use the term feeder breeders. They'll leave food out for the cats, not take it in. And then they wonder why they see little prints of, you know, raccoons and possum and all of that. And that also brings other creatures that you probably don't want around.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's why this is sort of a adjacent or tangential point. But there are just millions and millions of homeless, unwanted dogs and cats in the U.S. So if you are ready to, you know, take one of these amazing animals into your home, make them a member of your family, we always encourage people to actually adopt these animals rather than, you know, if there are cats who live outside in your neighborhood, rather than just feeding them and leaving them out on the streets where there are so many dangers, whether that's, you know, being hit by a car, you know, getting sick, some sort of infection, or, you know, being hurt by a cruel person who intends to do them harm. You know, if you have this cat who's coming to your porch, to your front door, wherever it is, you know, if you're confident they're not someone else's cat, you know, take them in, take them to the vet, get them, you know, checked up, make sure they're being taken care of, and have them become a real member of your family rather than just, you know, a neighbor who drops by every so often.
Exactly. And make sure they're fixed. You can usually tell by an ear notch.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Right. I mean, there are some feral colonies that it's just hard to trap, but there are great cat trappers out there. I actually hired one, so I know from experience. I had a whole situation, and I had to keep my yard free from anything that was toxic to save the kittens. And we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show. But I also want people to know where, Jacob, that can people go to find more information about PETA and more information on how to live in harmony with wildlife.
Yeah. So anyone who wants more information on, you know, whether this is a wildlife protection tip or just any of the myriad ways that in our daily lives we can be kinder to animals through how we eat, you know, what clothes we buy, what household and cosmetic products we buy, you know, what forms of entertainment we engage with. You know, there are so, so many ways for us to be kinder to animals. And the best place to start is to visit PETA.org.
Thank you so much for coming on Catitude and sharing this fantastic, informative information.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great day.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Has your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the first part of this show with Jacob from PETA. So I'm going to tell you my own story where I had to, you know, think out of the box in order to save creatures from anything toxic. It's kind of a funny story. If you are a longtime listener of Catitude, you might have heard it already. But for those of you that haven't, it is so in context with what we talked about in the first half. I just have to share it with you. So when I first moved into my current home, there were two cats, Sammy and Jethro. And Sammy got pregnant. She was a skinny cat. I thought she was just eating well. You know, it turned out she was pregnant. And end of September, about 9 years ago, she had three babies. Molly's one of her babies. The other two were adopted out. So it was interesting because the day that they were born, there was a storm. There was a hurricane warning, which is typical where I live, you know, South Florida. And first we had to protect the babies because Sammy had them hidden in a spot where there was a downpour and they would have drowned. Then we had to see where she hid them. And it turned out she hid them in the engine of my partner's truck. So not a good idea, you know? It was bizarre because she was so skinny, Sammy, that she could arch herself around. Of course, the car hadn't been used in a while, so it wasn't hot or anything. And she had her three babies near there nursing. And we just thought, oh my gosh. And then she moved a little, the babies would plop out. So of course, we put a cushion underneath the car just in case she went in there again. And then we went to around and we just rearranged the whole, we had an area of the side of the house that was like a little dog run. We added a tarp, some shrubs. I kind of don't know what my partner was thinking. He was thinking, you know, magical cat land or something. Because guess what happens when kittens are about 2 weeks old? They walk. They start going all over the place. And cars don't see kittens very well. So we didn't want to have one of those situations. So it was a kind of a gated area that had a tarp. It had trees. We bought kitten milk. We bought special things for them to play with. Everything we could do to keep the cats safe and from getting out. And you might be thinking, so what if they got out? Well, not only would they possibly go into the street and we would horrifically, you know, have one of them killed by being run over, because that's definitely possible. You know, people don't pay attention all the time. And when it's something tiny on the road, you can't see it. So it's not always the driver either. So we didn't want that to happen. And then my neighbor next door, who my former neighbor from next door, he has a BB gun and he calls us and says, "Hey, raccoons are out. Watch your kittens." And I thought, oh my gosh, what in the world do I do now? So he has a BB gun and he offered to pellet one of the raccoons. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt, you know, nature. It's their habitat. You know, it's funny, I don't live in a rural area, but there are raccoons and they are bold and there are possums too. So I researched, what could I do? Because whatever I did put in the grass, one, it affects wildlife. Two, it affects the animals that are around. Three, it's going to affect the kittens possibly. And of course, not that the humans should be fourth, but what you have on the water, the chemicals could sometimes affect, you know, the water that you use. So I didn't want anything toxic. So I did a lot of research online. What could I use? And so there was, you know, there's a lot of things you have to be careful about. So I found this mixture and I'm going from memory here, but what I remember, it was like hot sauce and vinegar and I don't know, one or two other things that were kind of smelly. It was really smelly. And what I needed to do is I had to put like a cloth. I took a couple of old towels and cut them into strips and put them all around the perimeter of my property. And this was to deter the raccoons from coming in to get the kittens. Because, you know, raccoons and little baby kittens, wildlife, prey, I don't want to go any further. So that's what I did. So picture this. I had a bunch of rags all around my house. And I live in a private one-story house. So it's all around my house. There's a lake behind. So it went to, you know, a few feet before the lake, but it was all around. And I just hoped this would keep the raccoons away. Well, and here's where the funny part comes in. I ran some errands, came back, and my partner says, "Look at this letter." I said, "What?" He says, "Look at this letter." Now, we had only lived in our home about, I don't know, 6 months at this time. And didn't know the neighbors too well. And my neighbor next door wrote a very nice, neat letter that went into great detail about how somebody put something smelly all over the property. And who could have done this? And this stinks. And why are these rags there? And this is just horrible. And you know, who in the right mind would do this? And I read it and I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't even met this neighbor and I've already upset her. What in the world? So right away, I went over to her home because I want to take care of the problem. And I'm a person of action. I don't like to wait. I'm a do it now person. So I go over to her home and I said, "I got your note." And she said, "Yes, who could have done this? I don't know. This is crazy. This has never happened before. This is crazy, blah, blah, blah." And I said, wait, it was me. And she goes, "Now, why would you do something to put something so smelly by our property?" I said, "Well, this is why." And I explained the story with the raccoons and you know, could possibly attack the little kittens and that sort of a thing. And she goes, "Oh, I understand." And I told her it would only be for a few more days. We had already decided to adopt Molly and I was going to adopt out the other two cats. So it was just a matter of a couple days. I explained that I really didn't want the little kittens to be eaten by the raccoons or attacked by the raccoons or possums or anything else. And she thankfully understood. She does not have any fur babies, but she's very compassionate. So I think I had the smelly rags around my house for about a week. It rained in between, so I had to make the mixture again with more smelly rags. But the problem was resolved. Nothing toxic for the cats or for wildlife, and it kept the raccoons away. So this is my story to how you can live with wildlife and do it in a natural, unharming way. And by the way, the mixture with toxic would not harm the raccoons if they went by it, but the raccoons would not go by it because of the smells of the mixture, you know, the hot sauce and the vinegar. And because of that, the raccoons didn't want any part of it. So it was just a win-win all around. So thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Catitude. Thank you, Jacob from PETA, for coming on and telling us ways to live better with nature, to be more cognizant of what we do so we keep all the animals in mind. Thanks to everyone listening to Catitude. I appreciate your listenership. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Thanks so much to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic and making every episode sound amazing. And hey, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.